I am using radio voice.
Here are several fine young men who I'm sure are gonna go far. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ramones.
The Electric Prunes.
Dusty Springfield.
Tim Buckley.
Gordon Lightfoot.
The Moby Grapes.
Richard Thompson.
This is Balcony Radio. Hello.
Welcome again.
Welcome again to The Balcony. My name is Scott.
And I am Anthony.
And we are playing things a little on the loose side today.
Yes,
because
yes.
We are debuting a new show right now.
And another one that we're super excited about because I guess we should give some background about why we're doing this episode. So here in the studio, which is adjacent or slash part of Scott's home.
That's right.
We have a whole wall of vinyl to my left and behind you. So to let people kind of get a visual of the way we sit here.
Yes, there are shelves of records looming over my shoulders.
On the north wall. That's north, right?
No, that would be the west wall. That would be the west wall.
I'm all turned around. Anyway, so yeah, there's a whole wall of vinyl there. So we finally have the means of playing things on the turntable through the board
into the computer. Oh goodness,
Scott got the magic cord that makes it all happen, and now we finally get to do the special show, or the first in the series of special shows. This is Off the Wall. And the first one that we've decided to do is something even extra special. Is a comedy episode.
So yes, we're going through my vinyl collection, playing strange comedy records.
Not all of them are strange.
Well, some of them are kind of weird. They're going to be unusual. You won't hear them all that often.
Much different than every other podcast or show that we've done.
Yes.
And thanks for bearing with us
and subscribing to the podcast.
Thank you so much for listening. And this time, instead of rocking your asses off, we're going to make your asses.
We're going to make you laugh. So. We're gonna, and you'll hear needles dropping on vinyl, and
yes,
all that.
They're
good
about
stuff.
To. Let's do it. What are we starting with?
We are starting with Steve Martin and a track from his record "Let's Get Small," his debut record. So
this is Las Vegas.
So let's just cue it up here and
drop the needle.
I'm going to suck this piano into my.
Nope.
Success.
Steve Martin here on the balcony.
To open the show, I always like to do one thing that is impossible. So right now, I'm going to suck this piano into my lungs. There. Okay, let's get started. We're having some fun, though, aren't we, kids? How many people are here tonight? Raise them up. Okay, this is it. Still $4 to get in? $4? Yeah. That's not bad though, you know, $4 in today's world with inflation and all that. It's like nothing. It's like, gee, I got $4. I think I'll throw it out in the street. Oh, I can come in here for $4? Okay. What happens? This is not Las Vegas, you know, this is, in Las Vegas it's $15 to get in. You know, it's worth it, because there's, you know, there's a million people on stage, and everything's moving real fast, and you can't understand a word they say, but it doesn't matter, and you just sit there, you go, wow, look at the tits. I'll bet there's 57 tits. But this is $4, you know, it's like, rambling. Rent a car, yeah. And the opening act in Vegas is always like a pop singer, you know, and they bring him out, and he's really good, but he moves so fast, he's got to, because he's got like 15 minutes, he's got to get it all in. They introduce him, you know, ladies and gentlemen, these sands of devils, proud to introduce Mr. Johnny Duke, let's bring him out. Hey, like a rooster, look at that. It's making here. How many people have to say? Okay, you hey, I'm in the Tucson, I'm in the Wisconsin. Hey, thank you for coming. I'd like to introduce the band, Biff, Tom, Jack, hey, Bill, Colonel, and the we got another new hepatitis. Okay, thank you. It's been time to lose the bacon. I'd like to do a couple of gambling jokes for you. Hey, because I gotta be me. I gotta be me. Okay, Sammy Davis Jr., personal friend of mine. Okay, now I'd like to do a little dancing for you. It's impossible.
impossible to put a Cadillac in your nose. It's just impossible. Okay, now we've got a couple of gambling jokes for you. Okay, the hills rely with the sound of money. Thank you.
Do I look all right? He bounces around like that. But anyway, as I was saying, we're basically into the intellectual scene up here, and that's why we're not into that kind of entertaining, huh? Hey. And it is an intellectual town. I enjoy coming here. Like, for example, see, things are always happening to me up here that are just so above everything else. Like, before the show, I was standing backstage, and a couple came back, and they asked me if I was bi. And, well, I studied a little Spanish in high school, but not enough to really be bi, you know, but I didn't want to look stupid, so I said, yeah, I'm bi. And they said, well, we would like you to come over after the show, because we got some S&M people coming over. And I said, hey, great, Spaniards and Mexicans. So it'll be interesting to go there after the show, speak a little Spanish, and have the intellectual thing. Now, this is what I'm into.
Yes, we're into it too. We're into it. That's right. Steve Martin here on the balcony.
Was that the end of the track?
That was the end of the track. All right.
And so, that was Las Vegas from Let's Get Small.
Yes.
Here we go. Let's play another one here.
Okay.
So we'll change the record now.
Here, just pick one on this.
I will.
Pick a winner.
Please be careful with my vinyl. I don't get thumbprints all
this
over the vinyl.
This is George Carlin's record, FM and AM.
Why don't we listen to... How about Sex and Commercials off this one? Yeah, we'll play Sex and Commercials.
This is George Carlin. And Spin the Black Circle.
Well, I got to find the track first, man. Wait a minute. Which
it's number three.
Number three. Thank you. Okay. Maybe I can get it right this time.
Sex and Commercials by George Carlin.
One of the disadvantages of longer hair, a lot of people think you're a commie fag junkie.
It's coming up, don't worry. It's coming up. On the balcony. It's like it loose, I like it.
How many did not wear a good strong deodorant tonight? Don't raise your hands, no. 5-day deodorant pads. Would have to be the strength yet to emerge from the business mind. 5-day deodorant pads. Sounds like a curse of some kind. And tell the truth, now be honest. When you first heard of 5-day deodorant pads, how many of you thought you had to wear them? I always catch a few. 2 years I wore those, mothers. A lot of laughs at the beach, you know?
Hey, look at the goofy guy. He's got things under his arms.
Scope. Has anyone here ever received a bottle of scope? Has anyone here ever sent anyone a bottle of scope? It just seems like such a cruel thing, you know? I often think of the borderline psychotic. Just needs one more thing to go wrong, you know? Going down to the mailbox. Mm-hmm. What's this? Scope. Scope. Up on the roof with the Magnum. Right. 9 dead, and they blame Marine training. Bad breath, yeah. Anyone can have bad breath, Marge, but you could knock a buzzard off a shit wagon. Remember that? Hey, if you ever run out of deodorant, I never mentioned that. You can, you do, even in the nicest home. You get one pit done, you know, and oh, God. You gotta go like that, you know. If you run out of deodorant, go into the kitchen and put a bay leaf under each arm. Doesn't stop you from perspiring, but you smell like soup. Keeps your friends alert, you know. Hey, who's wearing chicken vegetable?
Not me. I have bean with bacon.
From the Campbell's Hearty Soups. A manhandler. What they call him. Frankie Lane sings about it. How do you handle a hungry man? A manhandler. Really sounds a little suggestive to me. There's a lot of that in advertising. Hidden sex, you know? There's a lot of open sex, too.
Take it off. Take it all off.
Does she or doesn't she? Hope so. But that's open, and you can deal with that. I worry about the subliminal message. It's what's up front that counts. Should a gentleman offer a lady a Tipperillo? And what's the big scene in the Tipperillo commercial? It's a train going into a tunnel, man. You don't have to be Fellini to figure that out. But not all of the sex in those commercials is wholesome, normal, good old-fashioned American man on top, get it over with quick. Sometimes it's bizarre. I'd walk a mile for a camel. But wouldn't you really rather have a Buick? I can get my hands on a Toyota. Well, they say Plymouth makes it. Let's make it with Toyotas. And the cigarettes are obscene. Doral. Taste me, taste me. A few years ago, eat me was a bad word. You couldn't say it on television. Now they got male models running around singing it. Taste me, taste me. Winston, me and my Winston, we got a real good thing. What are they doing with those cigarettes? Half a pack is gone. They haven't lit one up yet. They're putting them somewhere, by God. Lark, show us your lark. It's a nice invitation to a flasher, huh? Well, try that lark thing in the Bowery. Those guys will show you their larks. And then the filthiest slogan of all. It's not how long you make it, it's how you make it long.
Yes.
Hey,
no truer words were spoken.
That's based in truth, so it's easy to take.
Thank you, George. George Carlin.
Here on the balcony. Very old George Carlin. That's from 1972. That's track three, Sex and Commercials, from his record FM and AM. And now we're going to take another step way back. This is Bob Newhart from his debut record, The Button Down, Mine of Bob Newhart. Just pick one.
Okay. Ledge Psychology?
I'm going to have to dust this one off. This is an old record.
Oh, here we go.
This is going to be extremely scratchy, too.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. This is some... I guess this is on-air engineering, in a sense. The brush is out.
Yeah.
This is on par with you pounding on the board in other episodes. Yes, I hope people can hear that.
Yes, I'm trying to. Try and get as much dust off this as possible. It's pretty dirty.
Man, this is very professional.
Thank you.
Anywho.
Okay. Ha ha ha. So, Ledge Psychology, Bob Newhart, here on the balcony on Off the Wall.
We have had a problem lately in Chicago with people jumping off ledges. We've always had a problem with people jumping off ledges in Chicago. And so many so that the police department has come out with a regulation on how to handle a guy on a ledge. See, you know, the patrolman on the beat. The first point is never go out on the ledge in your uniform. You see, because the image of authority may be just the reason they're out there to begin with. Secondly, you should be very casual and never issue any direct commands to them. You see, never antagonize them. And thirdly, and this is really, I suppose, a main point, be completely unsympathetic, because basically they want to be talked out of it. So I would like to present a Chicago policeman under this new regulation. He sees a guy on a ledge. He slips into his sport jacket and... I think he would probably light a cigarette, and then he would walk out on the ledge, something like this. Oh, hi! You You're thinking about jumping, are you? Your first time, is it? Me? No. I'm on my way to work, as a matter of fact. I usually walk around the ledges. I find it kind of helps me unwind. I don't know. You don't happen to be in advertising by any chance, do you? Yeah, I was more than a lucky guess. We got a lot of advertising people out here. Which way did you come out, by the way? Did you come out through the window or did you come around the corner of the building? No, the reason I asked, there are two other advertising guys on the southeast corner. I thought maybe... No, as a matter of fact, I didn't get their names. I think one guy had the Edsel account or something like that. You know, you're drawing a hell of a crowd for a weekday. Yeah, really. The last couple of years, jumping has really fallen off. I didn't mean it that way. No, really, seriously. You take 1929, for example. You literally couldn't get out on this ledge in 1929. No, we had people lined up in the corridors just waiting to get out on the ledge. Finally, we finally went to that numbered card system they use in the butcher shop. You probably see. Well, you see the cart down there? Yeah, the hot dog stand? That's Sam, the hot dog man. Hi, Sam, how are you? How's the what? I just tell him, hell of a crowd for a Thursday, isn't it? Listen, have you eaten, by the way? Well, don't be so. Two, Sam. You want everything on it? Two with everything, Sam. No, to go, Sam, to go. Oh, some fink turned you in. Yeah, you see the guys with the net down there? Yeah, they're firemen. Yeah. I'll give you a little tip there. You might kind of edge your way toward the corner of the building, you see. Then they'll start to follow you. Then you run back here and jump. Well, they get all confused and they start pulling different directions. They'll never make it back in time, believe me. Don't be silly. I'm glad to do it for you. Now, listen, gee, I really ought to be getting to work, you know. I'd love to stay around and catch it. No, don't be silly. Take your own sweet time about it. Yeah, that is a long way down, isn't it? You're kind of chickening out now, huh? That happens quite a bit. You have a certain responsibility to those people down there, though. Some of them in there a half an hour or so, you know. No, it's up to you. I mean, if you don't want to, you know, you don't have to. Well, all right, sure. Well, listen, I'll get in and then you follow me, all right? Okay. Now, where the hell did he go?
Bye. Yeah. Oh my goodness, that was Bob Newhart here on the balcony and Ledge Psychology from The Button Down Mind Strikes Back.
Yeah, so I guess we were mistaken when we at the onset. So this is actually his second record from 1960. The first one I think was from 59, and if I remember my history, cuz I'm a fucking nerd. I remember actually both reading and hearing this recently on another podcast. I guess I can name drop who it was. I was listening to the Nerdist podcast, which you definitely don't know, but it
sounds like a good one.
It's a funny podcast. It's hosted by a comedian named Chris Hardwick, and they were discussing old records with somebody as a guest. I forget who it was. I think it might have been Weird Al or something, who's a bit of a comedy nerd as well. And they were talking about Bob Newhart and how when Bob started, he immediately recorded and put out a record of like his second or third ever performance. That's the first album is like the third time he ever performed
really
live. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And this is also
that.
Very early on. Yeah. So he came out like fully formed as a comedic personality.
Wow.
I know. That's really fucking awesome.
That's really amazing. I mean, and of course he's truly funny
he's
man.
He's still
too.
Funny. He's I still think he's funny. Hilarious, and I've loved every version of a television show he's had. That's had every iteration
I
of
agree.
His name.
I absolutely agree.
Because there's been the Bob Newhart show. Newhart. There was a show that he did called Bob. I don't remember if you remember that. It was like maybe 10 years ago.
Is that the one where he had?
He was like a cartoonist.
No, I didn't see that one. The last one I remember was the he owned the inn in
Vermont. That's Newhart.
Newhart. Yeah.
God, you haven't had a TV for a really long fucking time.
Well, no, I just didn't watch his shows. I knew he was on.
Newhart was a great show.
Really?
Yeah, it's really funny. Well, he's funny. He was really good in it. They had a good cast. So, that's that.
Okay, let's play some more.
Hey, moving on. We could just keep talking like fucking nerds about
what
Bob
do we
Newhart.
Got next, man? You got
next,
it in your hand.
Play. I got it in my hand. This is a record called Stand Up Comic by one of my favorite artists of all time, Woody Allen. And go ahead and play track one of this.
I will. Here it comes. What's on it the balcony. It's just called...
read it while it spins.
It's Private Eye.
Woody Allen.
I beg your pardon. It's called Private Life.
This is my third night here. I haven't been here in about 8 months now, was the last time I was here. And since I was here... last, a lot of significant things have occurred in my private life that I thought we could go over tonight and evaluate. I moved. Let me start right at the very beginning. I formerly lived in Manhattan, uptown east in a brownstone building, but I was constantly getting mugged and assaulted and... sadistically beaten about the face and neck. So I moved into a doorman apartment house on Park Avenue that's rich and secure and expensive and great. And I lived there for 2 weeks, and my doorman attacked me. I don't know what else has happened. Oh, I know, I became a corporation since I was here the last time. Last year I had difficulty with my income tax. I tried to take my analyst off. As a business deduction, you know. The government said that it was entertainment, you know. We compromised finally and made it a religious contribution. You know? And I formed the corporation this year, and I'm the president. My mother's vice president, and my father's secretary, and my grandmother's treasurer. My uncle's on the board of directors. And they got together the first week, and they tried to squeeze me out. I formed a power block with my uncle, and we sent my grandmother to jail. I went to NYU myself, a philo major there too. I took all the abstract philosophy courses in college, like truth and beauty, and advanced truth and beauty, and intermediate truth, and introduction to God, and death 101. College, and I was thrown out of NYU my freshman year. I cheated on my metaphysics final. College, and I looked within the soul of the boy sitting next to me. They threw me out, and my mother, who is a really sensitive woman, when I was thrown out of college, she locked herself in the bathroom and took an overdose of Mahjong tiles. I was in analysis. You should know that about me. I was in group analysis when I was younger. Because I couldn't afford private. I was captain of the latent paranoid softball team. We used to play all the neurotics on Sunday morning, you know? Nail biters against the bedwetters. You know? And if you've never seen neurotics play softball, it's really funny. I used to steal second base and feel guilty and go back. You have a cousin that my parents loved more than me that really destroyed me. I have a boy cousin that went through 4 years of college and became a mutual fund salesman. And he married a very thin girl from the neighborhood who had her nose lifted by a golf pro. You know, and hit it and it just hooked up over her head. And they moved to the suburbs and they have all kinds of status symbols. They have their own home and a station wagon and fire insurance and life insurance and mutual funds. And his wife has orgasmic insurance, which is... if her husband fails to satisfy her sexually, Mutual of Omaha has to pay her every month. I don't know what else to tell you about myself. I was a writer and an actor. I was a television writer, and I was not an actor. I was in acting class. We did a play, an acting class, by Paddy Chayefsky called Gideon, and I played the part of God in Gideon. It was typecasting. And there was method acting. So 2 weeks beforehand, I started to live the part off stage. You know. I really came on godly. It was really fabulous. I put on a blue suit suddenly, you know. And it took taxi cabs all over New York. I tipped big. Because he would have. I got into a fight with a guy and I forgave him. It's true, some guy hit my fender. And I said unto him, I said, be fruitful and multiply. But not in those words.
That sounds like something I said to a bus driver one time.
We've heard that story. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, yes, Mr. All Woody right. Allen. That's good. That really thanks, funny. Woody. Great stuff. Great
stuff. He had us both at the nail biters versus the bedwetters.
The bedwetters versus the nail biters. Oh, yeah.
That's
what
so
we got next there,
funny.
Maestro?
All right, here, take this other record.
We got another one
All
here.
Right, so this is something that when I saw it on your wall, I was just in fucking awe. This is very cool. This is a record called Here's Johnny Magic Moments from the Tonight Show. And let's flip it over and see if we can get a date on this release. It's a Casablanca Records, which puts it in the 70s somewhere.
Yeah, so probably 1977.
Oh, this seems way sooner than that. All right, let's see who's on this. It's track 4.
Yes, 1974.
74. Okay. Wow.
All right.
All right, so this is Johnny Carson with, with Jack Webb from Dragnet. Yeah. Don't be silly, Carson, just the facts.
See how it goes.
My name's Friday, I'm a cop. I was working the day watch on a robbery when I got a call from the Acme School Bell Company. There'd been a robbery.
There's been a robbery.
Yes, sir. What was it?
How's that?
What was stolen, sir?
I run a school bell company. Never had any trouble before. Can't understand it. Just make bells. Never had any trouble.
Sir?
Hmm?
What was stolen?
My clappers.
Your clappers.
Yeah, you know those things inside a bell that makes them clang?
The clangers.
That's right, we call them clappers in the business.
A clapper caper.
What's that?
Nothing, sir. Now, can I have the facts? What kind of clappers were stolen on this caper?
They were copper clappers.
And where were they kept?
In the closet.
Uh-huh. You have any ideas who might have taken the copper clappers from the closet?
Well, just one. I fired a man. He swore he'd get even.
What was his name?
Claude Cooper.
You think he...
That's right. I think Claude Cooper copped my copper clappers. Kept in the closet.
You know where this Claude Cooper is from?
Yeah. Cleveland, that figures. That figures. What makes it worse, they were clean. Clean copper clappers. That's right. Why do you think Cleveland's Claude Cooper would cop your clean copper clappers kept in your closet? Only one reason. What's that? He's a kleptomaniac. Who first discovered the copper clappers were copped? My cleaning woman, Clara Clifford. That figures. Now let me see if I got the facts straight here. Cleaning woman Clara Clifford discovered your clean copper clappers kept in a closet were copped by Claude Cooper, the kleptomaniac from Cleveland. Now, is that about it? One other thing. What's that? If I ever catch kleptomaniac Claude Cooper from Cleveland who copped my clean copper clappers from kept in the closet, yes, I'll clobber him.
Oh, good for you, Johnny. All right, Johnny Carson and Jack Webb.
That is some primo comedy writing in 1968.
That was great, man. That's
what's impressive
stuff.
Of that is like you were just saying off air. Jack Webb doesn't break character. He keeps the straight face.
Keeps a straight face. If you've ever seen the video of that, he keeps a total straight face.
I would
face.
Like to, because I fucking love the show. Play track two of that.
Oh, I thought we were going to do...
I decided it's too long.
Okay. Track two
of
sorry,
people.
One?
You're getting some decision-making on the fly.
Maybe we should do a language disclaimer that's coming up with this next track. It's got strong language.
All right. This is Richard Pryor. Yeah, so there will be some strong language. This is from a record of his called Wanted, which is, flipping it over to see when it came out, 1978. So this is Richard Pryor pretty much at the top of his game. This is Jim Brown.
That chokehold was something else, boy. That's the one. I wish they grabbed Jim Brown around the neck. Well, Jim just take the arm and go, don't do that. That's my man, Jim Brown. Me and him partners, Jack. Hey, what's happening, baby brother? Jim, my real good friends, motherfucker. Go, what's happening, little bro? Ain't nothing to it. Shit. All right. Big nigga's leg, one of his legs as big as me. What's happening? Goddamn. He come over to the house. If you ain't up, you think it's an earthquake. The nigga walking the door. Boom, say, oh shit, it's an earthquake. Just Jim, bro. Ain't nothing to it. Motherfucker was voted athlete of the century, right? Played football 9 years, gained all the yards you could possibly gain in the world, never got hurt, and never missed the motherfucking game. Now they got people get hurt in practice. And Jim played football when there wasn't but about 8 or 9 niggas playing. So you know he didn't have nobody blocking for him. Right, Jim, just go in the huddle and say, give me the ball. Right, and sometimes Jim said the motherfuckers used to elbow him in the nuts and hit him in the Adam's apple and shit. You know, Jim said he'd never get mad, never say nothing. He'd just get up and say, that's going to cost you 35 yards. He'd go back to the huddle. Give me the ball. Right, motherfuckers be hanging on. About 8 motherfuckers be begging Jim. Please, Jim, we're on TV. Could you please? Would you fall down for us, please? My kids are watching. Please, Jim, please. One time, Jim bit a motherfucker's finger off. Cat stuck his hand inside Jim's face mask. Referee said, why'd you do that? Jim said, all outside this mask belong to him. All inside belong to me. And he's a beautiful, sensitive dude, man. We've been partners a long time. Got a lot of motherfucking integrity, you know what I mean? But it seems that some people have a death wish and like to fuck with him. And that's all it can be is a death wish. I mean, that's the motherfucker say, I can't find a building to jump off of. Let's go up to Jim Brown's house and fuck with him. Because the nigga don't know nothing about the back down, you know, and he don't mind if you do. You know, I mean, but you can't just say to Jim, like, you don't get out of the way, I'm going to kick your ass. Because Jim said, well, that's the ass whooping I got to take. See, that make a motherfucker start negotiating right away.
Excuse me, Jim, could I speak to you for a moment?
I'll give you the wife, kids, and the car. And on my part, I'll just get the fuck out of your face. What do you say? I used to have a rubber brick at my house, you know, look just like a real brick, though. And I'd fuck with people, right? They come up to me, I say, oh, nigga, you know what the fuck you talk? Say, Jack, what the fuck you doing? Rubber brick throwing, motherfucker. I threw it at Jim Brown one day, the nigga didn't even blink. And because he didn't blink, I panicked. I said, oh, shit. I done fucked around and threw a real brick. I said, please, God, don't let me be here when he throw it back. And the brick hit Jim, bounced off, just said, I had a friend, he was going to have a fight with Jim. Another big nigga, about 6'5". You know what I'm saying? Eight dudes was holding his ass. He was going to get in and just say, motherfucker, Jim, let me go, motherfucker. Motherfucker, Jim Brown. And he said, Jim said something that just chilled his shit.
Right, he said, Jim said, gentlemen, I think if you let the man go, he could express himself a little better.
Motherfucker said, he started whispering to the motherfuckers that was holding him. He said, any of you niggas let go of me, I'll kill any motherfucker to take air finger off my body.
Now just ease my ass out the door. That's right. Don't start no shit.
Yeah, just ease that man right on out the door. Thank you very much, Mr. Richard Pryor. You're on the balcony that's on funny. Off the Wall. Jim, my name is Scott.
I'm Anthony. Thank you for listening, and that's a really good bit about Jim Brown, who is close to 70 years old now and still just as fucking scary as
he was. Oh, my God, yeah. Oh,
when he
yeah.
was like 25. Oh, that's really funny. So this next track
is... Want to play Reverend Ernest Angry off this one?
Pick one.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a long one, but that's all right.
I was thinking of track one there.
Oh, Nicky Lennon?
Yeah.
Okay, let's play that.
All right. This is a record by Robin Williams back when he was funny, because there was a time. This is the sad thing about people like him or Jay Leno also gets this rap because... currently in their incarnations that are contemporary and kind of the reason why they're famous, they're not funny
anymore.
Like Jay Leno at one time was one of the funniest people who walked the earth and was a tremendous stand-up, and now he's toothless and isn't as terrible, and Robin Williams has suffered the same fate, and he's kind of a sellout and makes shit movies. But once upon a time,
he did some good, funny stuff, and here's some of it.
Back when the cocaina was involved. So this is track one from his record from 1979, entitled Reality, What a Concept. This is Nicky Lennon.
Look at that. He makes an announcement in about 5 seconds. May I have your attention for an announcement, please? Tonight, the part of Robin Williams will be played by Don Ho. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome Mr. Robin Williams.
Thank you. I wish to begin by showing you something that I am very proud of. I know. I'll have to ask these people to move back, though. You're disarming me. Hey. Obviously, you are on drugs, yeah? It's okay. Don't be afraid. I would like to begin by doing some basic Soviet suppressions for you. My first suppression is Karl Marx, and for those of you on drugs, Karl Marx. Karl Marx, take one. Imperialism is the worst thing I've ever heard. Wait. And now a native New York impression, a New York echo. Hello! Shut the fuck up! Thank you. A cheap shot, thank you. If you ever go to the Soviet Union, This is something else for you. This is impression of interview with Nadia Comaneci. Comaneci, once again, for those of you on Quaaludes. You're late. Let me show you what you missed. We did a quick thing. Came out, we did this. The students came out on stage. With this for the people like this. Okay, we're so okay, thank you. Right on. I said, I have to show you something special. Move back. Did a quick thing over there. Get over there. Then we did a thing over there. We talked to this over there. We talked back. Then we did a quick thing. Oh, we did another separation. Karl Marx, the worst thing I've ever heard. Wow, deja vu. Okay. Thank you. Wish to do for you now, this is a third suppression. This is interview with Nadia Comaneci. Nadia, how does it feel to be the finest female gymnast ever to compete in the 1976 Olympics? Let's go give you. Shoshoka Savina, 1976 Olympic, mocked by Shaz Bigel and Nieve, Prashuko, gold medal seizing in the Chevion Devi.
Tayavo!
She said she enjoyed it very much, but she did not go through puberty. Wait, don't give up. It gets better. Nadia, you think you'll compete in the 1980 Olympics? Nadia, just if you're in 1980 Olympics, mock for shows because you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to do
it.
The British American television gets bigger than any way. She says yes. 5.0, who cares? Like to do for you some Soviet ventriloquism. Here it is for you. Nikki, how do you like being in America? Social relevance, right arm. It's nice that you laugh. In Soviet Union, people don't laugh. They just go, funny. I have one last suppression for you now. This is an interpretive dance for you. Oh, some more smoke. I want to die. You ready now? Can you see in the shitty seats over there? Okay. We'll get back. Okay, over here, yes? Give us Barabbas. Oh, look, they've elected a new pope. Okay. Right now, he's in the Vatican on Easter, ready, preparing for the day, going, Vignola San Nive, Londere Sancto Bele, Shonda Vilandera Singe Levando, Flevol! And now, a quick interpretive dance for the ladies in the audience. This is the famous Death of a Sperm Ballet. Shh, wait. You're laughing at nothing now. Wait, you must use... Wait for it. This sperm... Oh, sorry, bad view. I don't mean to moon you. This sperm prepares. He swims upstream. Finally, he meets the diaphragm. The ovum sits on the other side. The sperm tries. Tries, and in the style of Martha Graham, really tries. And dies. So, yeah. Hello. Whenever I blow a dollar on a bottle of water, I have Perrier. Look, the stronger stuff. Let's see what the house wine is. Thunderbird. Ah, but it's a good week, though. Hello. Govidal for Thunderbird wine. Take two. Hello. Gore Thunderbird for Vidal wine. Take three. Before we go on, a brief joke for any psychics in the audience. We know who we are, don't we?
Look, the fog's coming in now. No one's seen that movie, good.
We're all set, time for some culture now. Some poetry to enlighten your brief day. Here it is, my first poem. Red sand between my toes, summer vacation in outer space. That was a Martian haiku. Now a simpler poem, a poem written on acid entitled Abier. Abier. I'm in a Eve Arden. Abier.
I've read that poem. I know that poem. That's a good one.
Wow, reality, what a concept.
I wrote that poem.
Now a poem for those of you who've taken Evan Wood speed reading. Thank you. Who knew?
Thank you, Robin. Robin Williams here on the balcony.
Oh, that was great. So yeah, that's from 1979, and so by then, Mork and Mindy is in season, oops, sorry, two or three, maybe?
Probably two.
Two, you think?
Yeah. And probably season two for Mork and Mindy, and...
already a big hit, though, because that was
huge hit.
Smash.
That's like the biggest hit on television at that time, and I think it was going head-to-head with Welcome Back, Cotter at the time. So
was that still on in 79? Oh, Cotter went into the 80s, didn't it?
Yes, it went into the early 80s, so Cotter was still on. So between Mork and Mindy and Welcome Back, Cotter, I think that was a head-to-head battle right there. Of course, I think they were on opposing networks.
Oh, were they really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I, of course, was not born in time to have witnessed Mork and Mindy in the first incarnation, so I'm familiar with it through reruns. And even when I was growing up and watching it in the early to mid 90s, I've seen just about every episode, and it held up very well. It was really funny. He's great, and there's a reason why he became a megastar off that show, because he's great on it.
Which
Mork and Mindy?
Mork and Mindy, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Like the episodes before he really gave into the cocaine are yes, amazing. Yes. Afterwards, you can tell that he's forcing it a bit, or it's a little bit nudged, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he kind of phones it in.
But early episodes, he is amazing. Like that's nothing like him. Nothing like him was on television at the time, or really since. I mean, I can't think of anyone. Who played that kind of role in that method? Maybe
that,
I don't know.
That kind of rapid humor.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone.
Well, at any rate,
whatever.
Well, who knows?
That was Robin Williams. That's us pontificating. Hey, let's get back to the comedy.
More comedy. Let's go some classic comedy now.
Oh, very much so.
This is Nichols and May. Mike Nichols and Elaine May.
And this is
this is called Telephone.
Here, do that closer to the microphone.
This is from An Evening with Mike Nichols and Elaine May.
Yes. Here you go. On the balcony.
Information.
Operator, get me the number, please, of George Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, at 4411 Huguenot Walloon Drive.
That is George Kaplan.
Yes, that's right.
That is Kaplan.
Mm-hmm, yes.
That is K as in knife. A as in aardvark. P as in pneumonia. L as in luscious. A as in aardvark again. N as in newel post. Kaplan?
I think so, yes.
Just one moment. I will look that number up for you.
Right. Thank you very much. Operator, if you could try to hurry a little bit.
I know.
I don't mean to rush you at all. It's just that I'm terrifically late, and I thought
that number is listed in your directory.
Operator, there is no directory here. I swear to God.
Will you please take a pencil and write the number down?
Yes, I promise I definitely will. Yes.
That number is
Hello,
Fairfax
hello,
Nyan.
Operator, hello.
Information.
Hello?
Information.
Operator, you collected my dime.
Information is a free service, sir. When you hang up, your dime will be returned to
you. Yeah, miss, listen, I know it's usually a free service. See, the thing is, in this case, I heard the dime, you know, hit all those other dimes. See, I know it's in there, and I wouldn't bother you about a dime, operator. In this case, miss, it's my last dime. I have no change. My car has broken down, and I'm an hour late for a very important appointment. So you can see that... Hello?
Information.
Oh, no. Miss, yes. Please return my dime.
Sir, I cannot return your dime to you until you hang up. And when you hang up, your dime will be returned to you.
No, it won't. Operator, listen to me. I know that sound. I've heard it all my life. That dime is in there.
Information cannot argue with a closed mind. No. Why don't you try hanging up?
Because I can't take the chance. I'll lose the dime. I'll lose you. Look, miss, can I go over your head? Is there someone else I can speak to? A human?
You wish to speak to a human?
Yes.
About your alleged dime?
It's a real dime.
Just one moment. I will connect you with the information supervisor.
Oh, thank you very much. Hello, miss operator. Hello?
Information.
Listen, there's no chance that you would, say, jostle something with your elbow and just cut me off completely.
We do not work with our elbows, sir.
Oh, come on, come on.
Information supervisor, can I help you?
I sincerely hope so.
Yes, sir.
Just a minute ago, operator...
Supervisor. Information supervisor.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
Just a minute ago, one of your girls inadvertently collected my last dime. And you see,
information doesn't charge a dime.
Yeah, no, look, miss, I've already gone through...
When you hang up, you see, your dime will be returned to you.
The other girl and...
Information is a completely free service.
Not tonight! Now, miss, please try to understand what I'm saying to you. I'm speaking as one human being to another. Forget that you're an operator.
I'm a supervisor.
All right, fine.
Supervisor.
All right, supervisor. Bell Telephone has stolen my last dime. That's what it comes down
just
to.
A minute,
and well, you stole it. I put it in the telephone and you took
minute,
it away.
You know.
It's my
Bell Telephone wouldn't
miss,
steal your dime.
They have stolen
my
dime.
Bell Telephone doesn't need your dime.
Well, I know. That's exactly
Bell Telephone
my
gets
point.
Millions of dimes every day. They wouldn't pick out your dime.
Well,
steal,
they stole it. Damn it, they stole it.
I'm not going to sit here and argue with you.
Well, now, miss, look,
I mean, if you mean to sit there and tell me that you think that the Bell Telephone Company has stolen your dime...
That is what I've been telling you now for 20 minutes.
Then I'll be very happy to return your dime to you.
You will?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Not at all. What is your name and address?
Miss?
Yes?
You're going to send me a whole lot of stamps, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
I knew it. Look, I've received stamps from you people in the past, and it's a swell surprise. I need the dime now. Look, can I go over your head? Is there someone else I can speak to?
Well, I could connect you with the managing supervisor, Miss Jones.
Yes.
Who wouldn't be able to help you either. If you run and give it a whirl.
Miss Jones, please. And please hurry.
Just hold the line.
Managing supervisor, Miss Jones, can I help you?
Oh, Miss Jones. I'm so glad I finally got a hold of you.
What is it, sir?
Miss Jones, this is my story.
Yes, yes, I'm here.
Oh. Miss Jones, a long time ago, one of your operators inadvertently collected my last dime.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You see, as I explained to her, I'm sorry, Miss Jones.
I don't usually do this.
No, sir, you go ahead and cry.
Thank you.
No, Bell Telephone understands.
You're very kind.
No, you've lost your dime.
No, she took it and I have to have it back.
Well, of course you do, sir. And Bell Telephone will be very happy to give you a free call for that dime.
Oh, Miss Jones.
Yes, sir.
If this is true, I'll never forget you as long as I live.
Well, it's true.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Jones. Thank you.
Our pleasure to serve you.
Thank you.
You just give me the number you're calling.
Miss Jones.
Yes, sir.
You're dealing here with an ass. You see, she took the dime before I ever got the number. Look, we'll forget it. I'll lose my job.
There's no need to take that attitude.
No?
Not at all. You can simply give me the name of the party you're calling. I can look that number up for you.
Grand. The name is George Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, is in Newell Post.
Yeah. One moment.
Yes.
Hello, sir.
Yes, Miss Jones. Yes.
That number is Fairfax 91975.
1975. Tell me what to do.
Hold on to your receiver.
Right, check, right.
Until you hear the dial tone.
Wait for the dial tone.
Then dial your number,
dial
sir.
Dial as I ordinarily
would. You have a free
would.
Call.
Thank you, Miss Jones. I'll never forget you.
This is a recording. You have dialed a wrong exchange.
You know, I've had that problem before.
Have you really?
I really have. I've had troubles with phone companies, but we'll forget that for now.
You have trouble with everybody, don't you?
I really do. The public companies are out to get me.
I picture you having private separate adventures all on your own all the time.
Believe me, my life is one big ball of fire.
Yeah, I can see that. Anywho, that was...
You're listening to The Balcony. My name is Scott.
And I'm Anthony. That was Nichols and May doing a bit called Telephone from their record An Evening with Nichols and May. And, actually, we're going to play that one over there.
Yes.
So this is something very funny. This is Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong, man. A classic duo.
And what record is this?
This is Big Bamboo. And we are going to listen to Rebuttal, speaker Ashley Roachclip.
And, yes, so this is Big Bamboo. Which, do you recall which, you know, chronologically or whatever, historically this record is for them?
I think it's their second record.
Is it really? Because yes. I looked at the date. I think it's like 74 or something like that. So this is some very old Cheech and Chong.
Yes, indeed. It's very old indeed. So let's see.
Yes. As you can tell, someone's a little rusty with the hi-fi here. How did your kind do it in the old days? How did Alan Freed do this shit?
Jesus loves you, sir. Jesus loves you.
That's all I have to say. Jesus loves you. Thank you.
Not lately.
We'll have some more. We're gonna have some Cheech and Chong right now from the Big Bamboo record. Please stand by. It's coming up on vinyl. Ha ha ha.
The following is a rebuttal to a KRUD editorial denouncing the legalization of marijuana. Speaking for the legalization of marijuana is Ashley Roachclip, president of United Heads for Hemp. Mr. Roachclip.
Yeah. am I facing the right way, man?
Just look at the red light.
Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah. I just want to say, man, that a lot of...
Just a second, Mr. Roachclip. Let's try it again, okay? We'll just take it from this top end and just relax.
Yeah, I know. I know what I was going to say.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll just take it from Mr. Roachclip. Okay, ready?
Right,
when
sure,
I cue you.
Sure.
Mr. Roachclip.
Yeah?
You're supposed to...
Right.
Okay,
right,
let's try it again.
Okay, no, I know where I'm at.
All right, on three. Now, just face the camera with a red light on it.
Yeah.
There you go. Great, you're in focus. Okay. Mr. Roachclip.
A lot of cats put down grass, man, like... because they say things about it like it makes you lose your memory, you know, man. Well, I just want to say that I forgot where I was, man.
Okay, cut. Freddie, stop. All right, let's just take it once more, okay?
Just a minute. Let me think of where. I know what I was going to say. All
okay,
right.
Here we go.
Okay.
We'll take it from Mr. Roachclip again, okay?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Mr. Roachclip.
Yeah?
Mr. Roachclip.
You're supposed to do the speech.
Oh, right, right, man. I got it. I got it. Okay. Ready? I'll do it right this time. Is this a
take? All right. Yeah, we'll take this one, Freddie. Okay, here we go. Mr. Roach Clip.
I just want to say that a lot of you cats that don't think marijuana should be legalized, well, you're all fucked.
Cut!
Cut.
Well, that's what it is, man.
Oh, that's right. That's what it is. That's what it is, man. Pretty much. Thank you, Mr. Roach Clip.
That's funny. All right.
Coming up for your listening enjoyment.
Mr. Roach Clip. Oh, Jesus. That's still funny. Anyway.
We're off the wall here.
Yes, literally.
Have some comedy
This is
fun.
So much fun. And this is, I'm sorry that you people have to hear our first attempt at doing this show, and there's a lot of fucking up because we're not really fast enough with the turn. Let's play the last track. I already wrote it down.
Oh, Martians?
Yeah, let's play Martians. So we're going to get this done much better the next time when we play music. But, you know, fuck off. We're playing some good comedy for you this time.
We're keeping it loose with one turntable.
We're keeping it very loose with one turntable and one brush and a lot of dead air. Anyway, so that was a bit from Cheech and Chong called Rebuttal. What's the full title?
Rebuttal featuring, a rebuttal speaker, Ashley Roach Clip.
Ashley Roach Clip. Right. That's a funny bit. And now we're going to take a step further back into comedy history and do a little political humor, where I guess this may not be very political, but it's by someone who's very well known for being outspoken in the early 60s. This is Dick Gregory.
Dick Gregory.
Doing a bit called Martians.
Here. Yeah. And we kind of believe that, you know, Agnew kind of hinted. Remember when he said the next we go into tomorrow? You know, looking for little bitty green folks, right? And I can't understand, you know, what makes you think they're green like they haven't got ripe yet? And when we go and blow all that bread looking for little bitty green folks, I hope you don't find no little bitty green folks up there.
That's right.
I hope you find some people on Mars, but not no little bitty green folks. I hope you find some cats on Mars 47 yards tall, 10 yards wide, black with nappy hair. 99 billion of them. I bet we'd get it then. I'll be just our luck they find 99 billion big black cats on Mars and try to communicate with them. Earth to Mars, come in, Mars. And they come in. Down to boss. I don't know. Can you imagine us going all the way to Mars looking for some people? I mean, there might be someone there. But, figure, how are we going to blow all this money first to go take pictures, right? And how are you going to take pictures of people you never seen before? I mean, if there's people there and we get a picture of them, how do we know it's them? You know? And we don't know what they look like them rocks and stuff they brought back from the moon. Might have been a cat's leg. We don't know what moon folks look like. Maybe moon people just one big crater, right? Look at all the money they've blown on them moon pictures. You know, I don't believe they spent that much. I believe them cats got together on the hill and split that money up, took a camera, took a close-up shot of some cold oatmeal. Yeah, I showed them moon shots to my baby daughter. She put sugar and cream on trying to eat it. I mean, can you imagine a cat coming down here from Mars tonight trying to check us out? And hope he don't come to Washington, he get robbed. Get mugged and his spaceship busted too. But can you imagine, just imagine, now we here, right? We know we here. Can you imagine some cat up there on Mars flowing $1 million to come out here tonight to check us out? And he lands, right? In a filling station that's closed, right? And naturally he walk up to the pump thinking he's talking to us, right? Earthman, I'm 10578X534972 from Mars. Earthman, take your finger out your ear, boy. I'm pumping you. Have you ever stopped to think what Neil Armstrong's reaction would have been had he got up there and had been some travel there? You ever thought about that? I just see it now. It's Neil Armstrong, we just landed. I'm out. I think it's some folks over there. Everybody been glued to the set. And I can see some cat at the NASA program sitting back here safe. Go talk to him. talk because, you know, when a cat got adventure in his blood, you know, he's not scared of nothing, right? And you walk over to him and say, Moon Man, I'm Neil Armstrong from the planet Earth. How many of you are there up here on the moon? Moon Man say, well, baby, about 200 trillion of us up here on the moon. We'd like for you Earth folks to know that next year we're going to visit you. Neil Armstrong said, well, thank you very much, Moon Man, and we will notify the folks on Earth that you're coming. Okay, thank you. Bye, Moon Man. Moon Man say, bye, nigga. Wouldn't that be beautiful not only to be called a nigga, but after you just finished paying $24 billion for the opportunity, baby? So, you know, my only hang-up is not, I'm not against progress, you know. Again, I say I think those moon pictures were interesting shots if you dig holes. But I think in the process of blowing money and spending money, you know, I'm not hung up about they should spend it here for poverty. I mean, we had poverty before we had a moon program and it didn't try to solve it. So I had no fallacies about me that if it wasn't going to the moon, they'd be spending it to relieve poor folks. So, but I think that if they spend it, they should spend it a little bit more intelligently. Like, don't be looking for folks you don't know what they look like. All right, Biggie. Can you imagine some Martins being stupid enough tonight to come down here? Not land, yeah, just to take some pictures, check out, see if we're here. And they come down tonight, you know, blow $35 million of Martin corns. Come on down, you know. Yeah. Take the little pictures, click, 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 and get back and land on Mars. And develop their film, but what they didn't know, they were taking pictures over a highway. Huh? And everything they're looking at, it's nothing but automobiles, but they never seen us, so quite naturally, they think the automobiles is us, right? Can you see these brilliant Martin scientists discussing us?
Yes, they have very intelligent life down there. They travel 80 and 90 miles an hour. And at nighttime, their eyes light up. And they're very affectionate folks. They just bump into one another all the time. And they have the strangest way of having sex. They just pull into some little place and something weird comes out and ram something in the rear. And if you listen real close, you hear them say, fill her up, and hear bells ring. And sometimes they get real dirty with it and say, put a tiger in it. Ah!
Oh, good. Thank you very much, Mr. Dick Gregory. That's great. The way the Martians look at us.
Oh, that was funny.
That's good stuff.
Okay, so that was Dick Gregory staying away from politics.
Pretty much.
But still making a commentary on the human condition, of course.
That's right, and how Martians would see us.
Blah, blah, blah. They'd see us as kinky weirdos is how they'd see us, obviously.
Probably.
Anyway, so here's a fucking classic that I did not know was released on Motown Records until I pulled it out of the sleeve.
Yes, this Bill Cosby. This is actually a soundtrack record to his movie himself. What am I going to play here? What shall we play? My goodness.
Pick a winner.
Why don't we do something like chocolate cake for breakfast?
Oh, that's a funny bit. All right, started spinning. So let's tell the people about this.
What are we doing? This is from the soundtrack.
To the movie version of himself. This is released in 1982 on Motown Records.
That's right. Wow. You want to do some plugs?
Should we do this?
Let's do some plugs real quick.
Oh, that's right. Since this is the second to last track, we're going to play one more after this. But yeah, let's do the plugs now. Go ahead.
Okay. First off, you can send us an email at balconyradio@gmail.com. You can go to our website and hear our stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at balconyradio.com. And you can also click the support button and give
donate.
Us a little donate to us and give us a little operating cost, a little support for the operating costs.
Yes, we don't do this for profit, obviously.
No,
just
no.
A little help to help to defray cost of keeping the website. I just said help twice in a row, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Keeping the website up and also... To pay back what we've already spent on, mostly you, almost all you've
spent it all, man.
You are the station manager.
I am the manager. I'm in charge of this piece of stuff or whatever you want to call this thing.
To help Scott break even after buying the board,
this crazy balcony thing,
and the microphones and the headsets and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So, and go ahead and find us on Facebook. Search Balcony Radio and click like and follow us. And we'll get updates from us, song suggestions, things you should listen to, and updates on when we drop our podcast, which you can find on iTunes. Search Balcony Radio. Click subscribe.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the best way to do it.
We get
click
a new
subscribe.
Show every Sunday whenever Scott decides to click the button that
says
upload.
Whenever I roll off the couch and, you know, put the smoking materials down.
Oh, jeez. Just go ahead and admit that on the air. So, whatever.
Whatever.
So anyway, so yes, find us on iTunes, leave a message, and click 5 stars, write us a review, tell us what you like, what you don't like, and any constructive criticism is always welcomed.
That's right. And whenever we start a new show, you know, if you like it, say, hey, all right. And we get a lot of new shows, man.
Yeah.
And this is then.
This will probably be the, I don't know how often we'll do comedy. I think this might be the one time we do a comedy show.
This will be our one-off comedy show.
Probably, yeah. But we're going to do other off-the-wall shows since Scott has, how many LPs do you have on the wall behind
us? About 3,000.
You have 3,000 LPs. So yeah, we'll do a few other one of these shows. We've kind of got the switching between voice and spinning the record down now. So do you want to go ahead and start this one?
I want to go ahead and start this next one. This is Bill Cosby.
And this is track one from side two of this record, Chocolate Cake for Breakfast.
My wife woke me up at 6 o'clock in the morning. She said, I want you to go downstairs and cook breakfast for the children. And I looked at the clock. I said, dear, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. She said, exactly. Go down and cook for the children. They have to go to school. I said, yes, but to eat at 6 o'clock, isn't that bad for your stomach? I mean, they just ate 12 hours ago. My wife said, Bill, get out of that bed and go downstairs and cook breakfast for your children. And I said, well, I don't know what they want to eat. She said, it's down there. Now you get out of the bed. So I got up. Needless to say, I was angry. And I went downstairs without putting on my robe. Standing there in my pajamas, and I'm talking to myself, hey, got the kidneys, went out and cooked breakfast, but it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and I slam the pans down. Bam! On the stove, and slam them down, and go to the refrigerator, and look around and get the damn bacon and the sausage, and cooking breakfast 6 o'clock, blam! In the morning, and I grabbed it. You have to be careful with eggs. Got to cook breakfast. Boom! The first one down was a 4-year-old. The child looked lovely. Cute, little face clean, hair, little braids, little things, you know. Come on, darling. And I said, what do you want for breakfast? And the 4-year-old has the ability to see through and find the wrong thing. And the child saw through my body what was behind me. She saw the chocolate cake. And she said, can I have the chocolate cake? And I said, chocolate cake where?
She said, chocolate cake behind you. And I looked, and there was chocolate cake. The child wanted chocolate cake for breakfast. How ridiculous. And I said, and someone in my brain looked under chocolate cake and saw the ingredients. Eggs. Eggs are in chocolate cake. And milk. Oh, goody. And wheat. That's nutrition. What do you want? Can I say chocolate cake? Chocolate cake coming up. Sliced it for her and served it. Now, you need something to drink with the chocolate cake, something breakfast. Grapefruit juice. This is not your child. So I give the child a glass of grapefruit juice and chocolate cake. Nutrition, eggs, milk, and wheat in the chocolate cake. And I didn't have to cook. And the other four came downstairs. And when they came downstairs, those of you who have children, you've seen them come downstairs for school. Hello, Elby. And they got to the kitchen. And they saw the four-year-old eating chocolate cake. And they said, Dad, where did she get the chocolate cake? And they went to the child and said, how did you get chocolate cake? He said, Dad, give me chocolate cake. And they looked at me and they said, Father. Could we have chocolate cake? And their father said, chocolate cake, coming up! Four sizes. And grapefruit juice. And five children sat at breakfast. And the morning music was playing. And they were eating chocolate cake. And singing songs to me. Dad is great. Give us a chocolate cake. And we had a ball. Until... She came down like this. And when she saw what the children were eating, I've always heard about people having a conniption, but I've never seen one. You don't want to see them. My wife's face split. The skin and hair split and came off of her face so that there was nothing except the skull. An orange light came out of her hair and it lit all around. And fire shot from her eye sockets and began to burn my stomach. And she said, where did they get chocolate cake from? And I said, they asked for it. And the children who had been singing praises to me lied on me and said, we asked for eggs and milk and Dad made us eat this. And my wife sent me to my room, which is where I wanted to go in the first place.
Thank you, Mr. Cosby. Yes, indeed. From the soundtrack of himself, that is Bill Cosby.
Oh, that was funny. This is great to just shed light on how some of these guys have been kind of forgotten as stand-ups. I mean, these are all awesome stand-ups. Robin Williams is a great stand-up. Bill Cosby is one of the best ever. And
Put it down.
What? Just get all your vinyl in fucking order, Scott.
I'm trying to.
Here,
I'm
let me take this one.
No.
Well, here, that's the one we're going to play next.
I know.
There you go.
All right. So discombobulated in the show.
Well, you know, it's the first time we're doing this, you know.
It is the first time.
There will be more.
Yes.
And we'll iron out the kinks.
Yes, well, you can do a lot of post-production on this.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
That's all right.
So that was our show. Thank you very much for listening. And this was an experience for all of us, I think.
Yeah, we played some classic comedy, you know?
Yeah, so this is going to be the only time ever that there is no music in the balcony.
No, because, you know, you got to get a good laugh in
every once
in a while.
You need a break from the music, and this time we've decided to do it with some laughs. And so we provided you with some classic comedy, and we're going to finish up here with somebody who has the distinction of always being mentioned as an influence, or, like, you know, one of the forefathers
everybody.
Of comedy or
yes.
whatever, but no one listens to him.
If it wasn't for this guy, I wouldn't be able to say this.
This is one of these landmark touchstone kind of names or individuals.
Icon,
but not really, you know, I guess not really patronized very often.
No.
Or if you said to somebody who name-dropped him, all right, what bit do you like?
He's got a stigma that still rides with him, unfortunately.
People would have a problem naming bits. I think it's just a name to throw out, you know.
That's right. Oh, I've got this album by this comedian.
Yes. Should we just name who it is?
It's Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, so we're going to finish up with Lenny Bruce. This is a really funny bit from his... what record is this from?
This is from The Real Lenny Bruce. This is a best of collection that was put out on Fantasy Records.
Yeah.
And this is called...
Oh, man, the record sleeve when you pulled it out was great because it was the entire sleeve was that painting of CCR. What record is that? That's their best of?
Yeah, I think that's their best of.
It's like that watercolor painting.
Yeah,
it's just great. And they flip it over and it's a page of ads for CCR records. It's you can tell where the priorities lied with that record's label.
Well, I guess Fantasy Records didn't have too many artists.
No, because they had Creedence and a bunch of fucking nothing.
Yeah, so let's place this out here, man.
Yeah, so anyway, this is Balcony Radio. This is Off the Wall, the comedy edition. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Anthony.
I'm Scott.
And this is Lenny Bruce.
They take you now to the headquarters of Religions Incorporated. And seated around the desk on Madison Avenue sit the religious leaders of our country. Religion, big business. We hear H.A. addressing the tight little group on Madison Avenue. Good evening, gentlemen. Nice to see so many boys here tonight. I see religious leaders I haven't seen in many years. I just was talking to Billy this afternoon. I said, Billy, we've come a long way, sweetie. Long way. Who would have thought back in 31 we were hustling baby pictures in? And shingles and siding were swinging. Yeah, we didn't know what the hell to do. Maybe the CC camps are starting to move. And I didn't know myself, you know. And just like that, we came on. You know, the Gideon, and there we were. The graph here tells a story. That's about it. For the first time in 12 years, Catholicism is up 9 points. Judaism is up 15. The big P, the Pentecostal, is starting to move finally. And now, gentlemen, we've got Mr. Necktie by my religious novelty house in Chicago, who's got a beautiful cellar. The genuine Jewish star, Lucky Cross, and cigarette lighter combined. Then we got the Kiss Me in the Dark, Mazizu. And the Walk Me, Talk Me, Wet Me Camel. And his wonderful little cocktail napkins with some hell of a sayings there. Another martini for Mother Gabrini. And some pretty far out things, may I say. Now, we like to, as you know, there's a lot of religious leaders that we've seen here, boys we don't know. This is the first time we've really united like this. There's about 6,000 boys out here from all over the country. And little favors, you know, the commissioner promised there'd be no individual hustling, you know. I mean, let's make the scene together, because, like, if we burn ourselves, where are we going to end up, you dig? Okay. Now, I want to introduce... Oh, we got Mr. Acton here, a great man, our Seventh-day Adventist, who on a leading tour of the leper colonies took some beautiful color slides. Here
is the greatest holy roller in America today. A great man and a great holy roller are...
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, boy. Here, have a snake. Gentlemen, tonight is thrill night. Does thrill night seem to jaw you? Gentlemen, why is it thrill night? Is it thrill night for the teenagers? The Elvis Presleys? No, gentlemen, it's thrill night for me, because tonight, for the first time in 7 years, I'm talking to men of the industry. For the first time in 7 years, gentlemen, I'm not going to look into one honest, sweaty, lockied face. Not one thick redneck. Gentlemen, tonight I stood for the last time in Oakland. I looked for the last time at 1,900 square feet of canvas. I felt the heat of the gas burner on my neck. I looked down at the sawdust. I looked at these people. And I said, Oriel, tonight you're going to be talking to the men. And I said, what would I talk about? And it came to me like that, gentlemen, the heavenly land and where it is. Well, gentlemen, tonight, where is the heavenly land? Well, I'll tell you one thing, my friends. The heavenly land is not in the cheap neighborhood bar. The heavenly land is not in a burlesque house. The heavenly land is not in dreamland. The heavenly land is not on Wall Street. Well, you might say to me, all right, you said it's not on Wall Street. You tell us it's not in the cheap neighborhood bar. Gentlemen, did you wonder if tonight I knew where the heavenly land is? I do, my friends. The heavenly land is in one place and one place only. And do you know where that is? Chevy's Ravine! And them sons of bitches are trying to take it away from us! With that $1 million land grab and the city planning fathers! Gentlemen, I know what some of you are thinking out there. I know what's going on, gentlemen. Some of you gentlemen who have never seen me before, you're saying, look at that man up there, this modern-day prophet there. Look at him ranting and raving. Look at him, he's so smart. He told us where the heavenly land is. Now does he know what to do with it when he gets it? Well, maybe, gentlemen, I'm not that smart. Maybe I'm dumb. That's it. There's old dumbbell up there. Ha, ha, ha! There's the dummy. Would you go have a laugh? That's right, laugh at him. Ho, 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 ho! There's the dummy. I'm dumb. Ha, 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 ha! Yes, I'm dumb. I got 2 Lincoln Continentals. That's a goddamn dumb I am. I'm dumb in hell. I don't know how much a whole lot of nines are. Now, maybe that's it, gentlemen. Maybe I don't know everything in the world. Maybe I'm stupid, but if I don't, I got some men on my staff who do. Tell us now what to do with the heavenly land when we get it, Rabbi Wires.
Well, thank you very much. I think we should subdivide.
That's pretty kooky, Rob. That's pretty far out. Now, gentlemen, what's that? What is it?
Your long-distance call just came in, sir. I'll take it in there. I'll talk to you boys later.
Yes, operator. This is 610. Yes, I'll take the charges. Yes. Hello, Johnny. What's shaking, baby? Boy, it's really been an election month, hasn't it, sweetie? Well, listen, I hate to... Yeah, the puff of white smoke knocked me out. We got an 8-page layout with Viceroy. The new Pope is a thinking man. Yeah. Well, if you wanted to go for the tattoo, but I figured the hell with it. It would have been too far out. I thought so. Yeah. Uh-huh. Listen, I hate to bug you, but they're bugging us again with that dumb integration. Now, I don't know why the hell I want to go to school either. Yeah, that school bus scene. Well, we had to give them the bus, but there's 2 toilets on each bus. But they're bugging us. They say, get the religious leaders. Make them talk about it.
I know it, but they're getting hip. Yes. They say, no, they don't want no more quotations from the Bible. They want us to come out and say things. They want us to say, let them go to school with them. No, I did walking across the water and snake into the cane. They don't want to hear that jazz anymore. And that stop war jazz, every time the bomb scare, yeah. They keep saying, thou shalt not kill means that, not a man's section A. Yeah. They don't want the bomb. Sure, they're commies. No, I ain't getting snotty, but we got to do something. Yeah. I got two... Yeah, we got some people on our side. We got Scatman Crothers and Stephen Fisher. Don't do no good. No, but with that, yes, that's why I called you. What are we going to do? Sure, that's easy for you to say. You're over there. Yeah. I know. And thanks for the pepperoni. Yeah. Yeah. Billy, you want to say something to him? Billy wants to know if you can get him a deal on them Dago sports cars. A Ferrer Moo or some dumb thing. Yeah. When you come to the coast? The valley is hot, but we'll fix it. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I can get you the Sullivan Show the 19th. Yeah, send me some 8x10 glosses. Yeah. Just, it's a good television show. Just weigh, that's all. Wear the big ring. Yeah. The ratings, we can fix that. But that thumb will go. I'm sorry, okay. Okay, I'm cool. Yeah, Philly Joe says hello. Yeah. Oh, did you dig Spellman on Stars of Jazz? Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, sweetie. Yeah. You cooler, too. No, nobody knows you're Jewish. Out of the lightning.
There are several fine young men who I'm sure are gonna go far. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ramones.
The Electric Prunes.
Dusty Springfield.
Tim Buckley.
Gordon Lightfoot.
The Moby Grapes.
Richard Thompson.
I am using radio voice. This is Balcony Radio.